It's good to be here this morning once again as we're here to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study. That's very important. We must put it to practice in our lives. I want to talk about this morning the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And the power of suggestion. When we suggest something, we bring to mind for consideration. That's what it is to suggest. You bring to mind for consideration. To call to mind by association of ideas. That's Webster's New World Dictionary. When you suggest something, that doesn't mean you are trying to run people's lives. That doesn't mean that at all. When someone is sick, you say, "May I suggest that you see a doctor?" That's just the right thing to do. Suggestion. When people are having trouble in their lives, I suggest we study and obey God's word, the Bible. Sometimes military men have said to me, I have had people to tell me what to do all my life, so to speak, in the military. I am out of the military now, and I am not going to let people tell me what to do. I've had men to tell me that. I had to work with a guy that, and live beside a guy who had that type of an attitude. We are not telling people what to do. We are suggesting, bring to their minds what God wants them to do. It's not that we're trying to tell people what to do. It's not that we're trying to run people's lives and to try to persuade people. Maybe, you know, that's what we need to say. I'm suggesting that you do this and do see a doctor if you're sick. I'm suggesting that you see a doctor. I'm not running people's lives. We're going to turn to 2 Kings Chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 4, I think, somewhere in there. And look at something here. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now, we know about this story, about Naaman having leprosy, and I won't deal with him being going to the Jordan River, not today, but we'll eventually get to that, that section. But 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Now this shows that just because people may be important people or whatever, any of us can get sick and catch some type of disease, and that's the way life is. But if you notice here, the Lord gave victory to Syria. And Naaman, he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her master, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And we know that leprosy in those days, there was not a cure for leprosy. It was white, scaly scales of sores. And there was no cure for leprosy. And the people in God didn't take that away by a miraculous way. They had no cure for it. That person would die. Look at verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus saith the girl who is from the land of Israel. Now I'm going to stop reading right there for dealing with verses 2 and 3. This girl was taken captive from Israel and now in Syria. Yet God allowed the tragedy of her captivity to accomplish a great good. God used this girl. The young girl illustrates the mysterious ways God worked. And you hear people say, and then God did work this way in Old Testament days. You hear people say, God works in mysterious ways. Of course, I don't know about today, but I know he did in Old Testament days. We can study on that later on. But God worked in mysterious ways. But here in the Old Testament, we know that God would perform miracles and work through people. I believe that in New Testament days, he still worked through people, but whether or not in a miraculous way, I can't say that. But the young girl illustrates the mysterious ways God worked. She was probably raised in a godly home, yet taken from her family at a young age. It was an implacable loss for her parents, and they no doubt grieved over her every day. Every day. I mean, I could kind of, you can put your own self daughters in that. Somebody captures your daughter and take them away, kidnap them, you're going to grieve. And you're going to grieve every day. Yet she was used in a simple way. God still used her. If only, listen to what she says here. If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. This young girl was an outstanding example of a faithful witness in her current circumstances. Or her current circumstance. And you may take this and read it later on and fast get some lessons for your own way, you know. Bring out some things, and if you can bring out something that can help me, I appreciate that. She cared enough to speak up. Sometimes you just have to do this, have to speak up. And she had faith enough to believe that Elisha would heal him of his leprosy. She believed it. We can see the benefits of a religious education. And we know we got to get a secular education, and that's good. But we need a religious education more than we need the secular education. Had not this little maid been brought up in the knowledge of the true God, she knew about God. A lot of people worship false gods in those days. They do the same thing today. She had not been the instrument of so great of salvation. If you look at verse 4, had she not been brought up in a religious situation. But look at verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel. And we know that she had something to say, and she was brought some good things to people. But I want to look at some things here along that line of suggestions. And I gotta say, you know, when you're talking to people, maybe sometimes use the term, I suggest that you do this, that, and other. Not that I'm demanding that you do something, but I'm just suggesting that you do. Yeah, God will demand that we do some certain thing. So that's something we'll look at too. But let's look at something here. A simple suggestion has power to move men to think. Now, not overthink, because we can do that. Just to think, not overthink, not underthink, because when we overthink, I believe when you overthink, you're going to be making up some stuff in your own heart when you overthink, and it's not there. When you underthink, you have lack of faith in God's word when we underthink. But just think and think the way God would have us to think. And if we don't do that, I'm just going to be honest with you, we're going to have some problems. We've got to think the way God wants us to think. 2 Corinthians 5, these are scriptures that we have read over and over before. There's nothing new under the sun. And I try not to keep you long, by the way. 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to what he says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. And we know there's going to be a judgment day for every person. Paul says, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. See what he says there? The terror of the Lord. We know about the terror of the Lord, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. And we will have a good conscience when we obey God's word. No doubt about that. But notice here, he talks about the terror of the Lord. We know about it. We read about it. We need to persuade men. Because of the judgment day, that everybody's going to be judged. And we know that we're going to be judged individually. We're not going to be judged as North Side or other congregations. We're going to be judged as individual. And this word persuade means to convince. It means to convince. We all are going to be judged by Jesus individual, and let's be ready for that day. But let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Proverbs 23, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. And as we talk about, a simple suggestion has power to move men to think. Proverbs 23, here's what Solomon, he says. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Let's just say something here about verse 2. He talks about here and put, you see, a ruler here invites you over to eat. And I'll kind of explain this, that way you can be thinking about it. He invites you over to eat, and he tells you to enjoy yourself, just eat all you want to eat. And that's what he's saying. But that's not what he's thinking. When you read this, you'll see that what he said, you go ahead and eat all you want, but in his mind, he's hoping that you don't eat a lot because it's going to cost him a lot of money. That's what this is dealing with. But and the phrase here, and put a knife to your throat. Use the strongest method to keep thine appetite in check. It has reference to use self-control. Just use self-control. And you can study this too when you go home. If thou art likely to give way to it, and then overcome by meat and drink, to say or to do anything to offend your host. You'd be surprised at the people, they're watching us. People watch how much we eat. You'd be surprised. I know I went to a meeting, one brother told me, he said, "Are you gonna eat all of that?" I didn't think it was a whole lot. But to him, evidently it was. I said, "Well, I'm planning on it." He said, "That's a lot of food." I said, "Okay, whatever." But people are watching us. They're watching to see if we, I guess he was looking at me as if I'm a gluttonous man. Maybe I'm overthinking. But this ruler, and I'm going to have to hurry up with this. This ruler, that he's going to say, just enjoy yourself. Y'all, there's plenty of food here. But that man, that stingy man, is worried about how much it's going to cost him. That's what Solomon is trying to get us to see. Look at verse 2 again. And put a knife to his throat. That means you use discipline if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacy, for they are deceitful food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. We know this to be true. You could have some money, thinking you're doing pretty good, and you look at your accounts and, man, look at this. How Lois done got money flies. And that's what he's saying here. And I'm not trying to get rich or nothing like that, but I'm just, let's read that again. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser. That word means a stingy man. Nor desire his delicacy. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now watch what he tells us. Watch what he tells me here. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. See what he says? Now he told me to go ahead and eat and drink and in one sense enjoy yourself, but he's worried about how much it's going to cost him. And so with that in mind, he's really not thinking the way he should be thinking. If he tells a man to eat and drink and enjoy yourself, he shouldn't be worried about how much it's going to cost. Okay? But let's look at another one. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 8 on this thinking. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Where Paul is telling the brethren at Philippi what to think on. Philippians 4. And look at verse 8. And of course, we know that if we want peace in our lives, we got to think this way. And once again, we cannot underthink, because that's lack of faith. We cannot overthink, because when we overthink, we're going to make up a lot of stuff in our minds. We've got to think this way. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. And then you have to investigate something to make sure if it is true. If it's true, we know God's word is true. If it's true, then we need to obey that. Whatever things are noble. This word noble means having high moral qualities. Having high moral qualities. The things that are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. See what he tells us, and if we don't meditate on these things, we're going to have some problems. We will have problems. I don't care who we are, who you are, how famous a preacher might be. If he don't meditate on this, he will have some problems. So let's just meditate on this, on the Word of God. We'll do another slide here. Won't keep it too long. It's supposed to be about a 30-minute sermon. But let's look at something here. A simple suggestion has the power to move men to desire. To desire. And that's one of the things that in life, in the kingdom, if people don't desire to do something, they're not going to do it. But if you look at Acts 2:36, Jews on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and 36, these men desired to obey the gospel. Acts 2:36. Listen what the Bible says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And we know the Jews had crucified Christ and they wanted to know what they must do. And Peter helped them. They desired the fact that we want to know. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't know what to do. You ever been in a situation that you didn't know what to do? And the more you try to fix something, the worse you get made it. They didn't know what to do. It was Brother Keeble would always say, that if you don't know what to do, stand still and let somebody help you. You know, the Israelites was getting ready to cross over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was after them, and they didn't know what to do because there's the water. Pharaoh behind us. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He stretched forth his rod and divided the Red Sea. But the people, when they're jumping in that water, you don't know what to do. Stand still until somebody helps you. And so we get in situations in life that maybe sometimes we don't know what to do. Well, we need to stand still and let somebody help us. Look at, and the Jews didn't know what to do. And if you look at the next verse, 38, then Peter said to them, repent. That means change your mind towards whatever that you about had been guilty of crucifying Christ. Now they're sorry about that. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He told them what to do. To repent and be baptized, and that fixed that. And there's a song that me and Dastin sing, Jesus will fix it. He'll fix it. Anything that's all messed up in our lives, he'll fix it if we let him. He'll fix it. And he fixed the Jews. And he had fixed us, because those of us who are members of the body of Christ, gotten out of sin into the marvelous light, he fixed it. But look at another scripture, Acts 8 and 35. Acts 8 and verse 35. This deals with the Ethiopian eunuch who had been to Jerusalem to worship. he had been worshiping wrong, and he was returning. He was worshiping wrong because he was worshiping according to the law of Moses, and that system has been nailed to the cross. But look at verse 35 here. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. See what he did? He preached Jesus to him. The Ethiopian didn't know what he was reading, but he was reading a prophecy of Christ, about Christ in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. Don't want to give you the wrong scripture, so I'll just say in the book of Isaiah. I believe it's, but never, let me move on. Isaiah. I didn't write the scripture down, but I know it's there. Preach Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" See, he desired to be baptized. He wasn't forced. Philip didn't have to spiritually fight him. He wanted to be baptized. And look at the next verse. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And look at the next verse. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Notice he didn't sprinkle water on him. He didn't pour water on his head. He baptized him. Got to go down into the watery grave of baptism. But let's look at one more scripture. A simple suggestion has power to move men in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Oh, like I said, I got plenty of information here, but we'll just save it for next week. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. 5 and verse 3. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the poor in spirit are those who are humble. We have to humble ourselves. Who recognize that they need spiritual help. That we can't do this on our own. We need spiritual help. And we need spiritual help every day. We talked about the power of suggestion. A simple suggestion has power to move men to think. We're going to bring it to a close. Just to think. Don't overthink. When you're on your secular job and the boss say, "I want to see you tomorrow. I want to talk to you." Just don't overthink. It may not be. Sometimes we think into something bad. Don't overthink. You can think. But don't overthink. And the next thing to do, a simple suggestion has power to move men to desire. A man needs to desire some things. And even if a man's going to be an elder, he'd have to desire that work. That's one of the qualifications. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he must desire. You must desire it. If I don't desire to do this, I'm not going to do a good job. I'm going to do the best I can. But we got to be desire. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. You need to obey the gospel. You've heard the gospel. Need to believe it. Need to repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men. And be buried with Christ in baptism. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.